Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast.
Have you ever thought of doing a different syllable as far as the emphasis goes? Like, what happens if you make the L really stick?
L is so like, well,
yeah,
come,
yeah, like that.
That's no, whoa. Or if I just stuck the E, right? Yeah. Or like the long out. Welcome. It sounds like I'm being thrown down a pit.
Look, welcome. I just we've done a lot of episodes of this show, and I think it's important to examine the constituent pieces and say, hey, should they be changed? I agree. The welcome should stay.
I agree that Spencer should be different.
Well, it's the big show. That's what I like. I'm so close to doing that every time we start this. The internet's only college football podcast.
Now that our bettors have stopped listening, can I tell Ryan in real time, because I know you guys love it out there when we have production meetings over the microphones, about my plan to just get a recorder, not a recorder like the ones we record the show on, but like you learn to play in the fourth grade.
Like, and a, play hot cross, a theme song. Like a hot cross buns.
Yeah, before. And use it to like make bumper music for us.
Can I tell you a funny story in return?
Yeah. Yes.
So about, I don't know, maybe like a year ago, somebody at the company was like, hey, y'all really got to have intro music. And I was like, well, Spencer shouting welcome is kind of intro music. And they were like, no, it's not. So I said, okay, can we go get the old theme music from Shutdown Full Back? They were like, sure, we can do that. And they like signed all the papers and signed it off with whoever. But nobody actually figured out like how to get the file or who to have send over the file. So technically we have the legal right to use the Shutdown
Fullback. Are you shitting me? That's awesome.
Fullback theme music, and the company has paid for it. I just don't have the audio file.
Okay, I'm going to find it because I fucking love that song. Or I could get a tiny marimba and just play it into the microphone.
Actually, what this does mean is if you are a musician or if you have an amateur band of some sort, you can send us a recording of you playing the Shutdown Fullback intro theme. You can go find them on YouTube.
Yes.
And we will play your sample, right?
We'll do that. Absolutely will. Absolutely, I'm not kidding in the slightest.
Speaking of failed musical aspirations, Spencer's going to Indiana.
Going down to a small town. Gonna drive a truck in a small town. Going to Bloomington, Indiana, and also a small town. Probably on the way when I got a poo.
Brian, just let him tire himself out.
It's Nine Win Cougar, Indiana now.
That's right.
I wanted it to be Beat Pendiana, but no.
No. That's not their fault. Remember, only Indiana could be sidetracked in a competitive game against Penn State by an unintentional fake punt to somebody called Peyton Hendershot.
Dude, that was the most, like, people talk about video game shit in real life, and they're like, oh man, press the B button, blah, blah, blah. Accidentally calling a fake punt would be when you're like, no, I didn't mean to, damn it. Like, that is the actual, that is the actual video game shit leaking into real life.
When Peyton Hendershot got the ball snapped to him, if you did not see the game, what happens is that on fourth and, it's just some change, Indiana, within one score at that point, is going to punt. The freshman long snapper had some sort of communication or out of body experience and snapped the ball directly to the up back, who caught it to his credit.
Then what?
Then he thought what any of us would think, which is really, really, dude.
Yeah.
Because
he should have just thrown it back at the, like, angrily thrown it back at the long snapper.
Thank you. That's what they...
This was the time to play down in a pond in a little bitty pool.
That's how Peyton Hendershot felt.
Okay, Peyton Hendershot is a very, you won't have a long character arc on Justified kind of name.
I've been interrupted twice trying to explain this dude's name, and now I will tell the whole story because they would not shut up about it on the broadcast. He has two brothers. He was indeed named for Peyton Manning. He's got a brother who's named for some other quarterback that I've been trying to remember for 2 days and I still can't fucking remember. Don't at me. I don't care that much. His third brother is named Drew after Drew Bledsoe.
Oh, wow.
And they're openly speculating. The degree of hating on this on the broadcast was such that they were openly speculating. I'm like, well, you could always say he was named after Drew Brees. I'm like, what, so he could grow up to run a pyramid scheme? Do you want the kid to grow up short? Oh, God, there's a lot of this music.
Yes.
I've decided the third child is Bruce Hendershot, named after Bruce Gradkowski.
Absolutely.
Jordan Lynch Hendershot. The grittiest of all future Mac QBs. Why don't we give children more modest aspirations in terms of quarterbacking, right? If you're going to give them a name. Why don't we name them something like, this here is little Jeff Driscoll Hall.
This is Brister Hendershot.
Yeah. This is Clausen Hendershot. Which one? Oh, any of them.
Yeah, no, that was too far. He went too far.
That's mean, because not everybody is going to know that he's named after Rick and he's going to get beat up.
Yeah. Anyway, Peyton Hendershot got that ball as the up back and was like, yo, come on. No. No.
That's all a very long way of saying that Spencer and Stephen Godfrey will be at the Michigan-Indiana game this upcoming Saturday in Bloomington. They will have some stickers. They will have some t-shirts. I promised people on Twitter that Spencer would wrestle them, and he probably won't say no.
Oh no.
That's a good way of putting it.
I am like 80% confident that this is not the first Spencer is hearing of the fact that he's going on this trip.
Yeah, no.
Pretty good for us, honestly.
It was definitely this week when he asked me if he was going on this trip.
Have you ever thought that you could activate him as an assassin if you needed to? Holly, what am I supposed to do today? Shoot the prime minister. Okay.
Why do you think we've stuck together this long? It's not so we can build careers in digital media.
No, it's basic function at this point.
Yeah.
So you're the clown. You're the clownfish, basically.
Hey, I just keep swimming, okay?
With friends like these. Wait for it.
No,
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
Do it.
Who needs anemones?
Yeah! That was podcast business.
Podcast business has concluded. This one's already going in the archives. I can feel it.
I said this on Twitter today, but it really is true. Whenever I have deleted the most recent podcast episode from my phone, even though I go into my podcast downloads and I look and I don't have any episodes stored, every time I run out of episodes and my phone appears to be empty, a ghost fragment of the episode where you guys had Roger Sherman rapping All I Do Is Win starts to play on my phone. I can't figure out how to get rid of it, and I've been trying for like 2 years.
I think that's a standalone audio file in the feed.
It's in my phone somewhere, and I cannot root it out.
Yep.
It lives there now.
Congratulations, Roger. You can't die.
No, we knew that.
Although, really, you know, death is not a concern because as an absurdist football fan, i.e. a Northwestern fan, the same thing. Life is pointless. It's pointless. Though, I will say this, the mighty explosion of the Northwestern offense this weekend, they were heroes. Ryan, what did they do?
They didn't cover. Are you saying they're heroes because they let UMass cover?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. They're accessories to greatness.
Yeah, okay.
Which is more than they've been all year long.
Right. They, by virtue of, I think, missing an extra point,
yep.
They failed to cover. The spread was, you know, 39.5, 40, 40.5, depending on where you got it and when. But no, Valiant UMass covered that 40-point spread, even though it was more than Northwestern had scored, I believe, in their last either three or four games combined.
Four. I'm going to go four, because remember, one of those games is zero. As in scoring no points whatsoever. Hey, do you watch Fixer Upper, Ryan?
Not a lot lately, but I'm familiar enough with the body of work, especially because every episode is exactly the same.
Holly's never watched Fixer Upper.
No, I am not. I should say I was not until very recently a home improvement reality TV person, but then you turned me on to Grand Designs.
Yes.
By which I mean turned me on to watching Kevin MacLeod impregnate wives all across Britain. Someone stop him.
Everything good about Grand Designs is not present in Fixer Upper. I feel comfortable saying.
Yeah, nothing.
Interesting.
Like, where Grand Designs is like, here we are in this strange Welsh village where there is no plumbing, but too much electricity. Whereas in Fixer Upper, it's like, hey, it's Waco again. Here we are. Oh, look at that. Ranch homes. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? They really wanted this house due to proximity to the desirable Jefferson School District.
Desirable?
Whereas, like, I don't know if any of the homes on Grand Designs are even close to schools or other people or it, like, they'll do things like, here on the Isle of Skye, people have been battered by the wind and driven mad for thousands of years.
Shit, yeah.
These two artists want to build a home here. Their dream home, haunted by wind goblins and the murmuring of mysterious gods who died long ago.
The bank has written them a £700,000 loan for some reason. And they've already burned through all the money.
Yeah. They've already spent all of it.
Yeah. Fixer Upper is like, hey, you bought a house for $800. And by the end of the episode, it's worth $400,000. It's fine.
In Waco. That's always the best part. This is a long way of saying that. You know, normally what you do on Fixer Upper is you demolish the house, right? Demo day!
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
And then you build it back up.
They have to have found a body in one of those, right?
Oh,
yeah. I assume they put bodies in somewhere.
We've hung a barn door here that slides so you can get from the kitchen to. Is that TikTok?
Sorry.
Okay. I completely lost track.
You were God talking about it. It's fine. It's fine. So we're talking about Fixer Upper.
So that's what that feels
I assume
like.
Because game day was in Waco for the Baylor Oklahoma game. Probably we're going to talk about the game, but I can't guarantee it. We didn't share any show notes this week.
Yeah, no.
Jason's not here. Who was going to make show notes?
Yes. Also, Jason's not here. We probably, as somebody who hates it when you never mention when I'm not here, Jason's not here.
We run the entire game backwards, right? The entire Baylor-Oklahoma game is just an episode of Fixer Upper in reverse because Baylor had a nice house and a great reveal in the first quarter, right?
Yeah.
And then second quarter, there was a lot of promise. And then by the time we get around to the fourth quarter, there's just a hovel.
And there's even the third quarter where there's like, ooh, there's a problem. That's when Oklahoma's about to score, but they fumble right at the goal line. Chip fixed it. Chip fixed the problem. You're going to be fine.
Just slap some shiplap on that third quarter and you guys are going
to
be great.
I was looking for a specific TikTok video to make a point, which is this game was like that TikTok video where this one girl is ragging this other girl for her ugly shoes and her friend goes, and that's why your mom's dead. Like as a comeback, like your shoes are ugly. And she's like, you don't have a mom. And that's what this game felt like. Baylor was ragging on Oklahoma for the entire game. And then Oklahoma was like, what shoes your mom got on in her coffin where she is. Cause she's dead.
Wow.
Forever.
Also, like, who in Waco is anyone to make fun of someone's shoes? I just, like, between Waco and OU, it's like girls going, oh, your boots. Well, your boots. They're the same boots.
They're bitch boots, Carol.
Shut up, other Carol.
We can't say that in McLennan County. Now, you do something civilized, like unleashing an entire clip full of ammunition at a knockoff Hooters.
19 people.
19 people killed.
19!
Yeah, like 19 people died at an off-brand Hooters in Waco. You know how many people were prosecuted for it?
No crime!
Zero!
No crime!
Just letting the chopper sing out of Twin Peaks!
No, that's... Wait, I'm sorry. I think I was thinking of the 19 people who were arrested or something. Only 9 people died.
Oh, only 9. Okay.
My favorite thing is that the story lists that all 9 people who died died of gunshot wounds.
Yeah, really. Wasn't like one person was like,
how interesting.
Yeah. So, point being that if you're watching this game from the fourth quarter to the first, it's a triumph. It's an absolute triumph for Baylor. So, Baylor fans, if you're looking for a way to go ahead and soothe the wounds of losing this game, one, what are you doing listening to this podcast? We're just going to rub it in. Two, watch it backwards. Just take the DVR, rewind it slowly.
Sorry, I had to pull the stats up. 9 bikers were killed, 18 others wounded or injured, and 177 individuals ultimately arrested and detained in connection with the shootout. A 4-year prosecutorial fiasco per the Waco Tribune Herald that resulted in 0 convictions. Thank you, carry on. Where do you even put 177 people? Like, I'm just talking logistically here, right?
Probably.
Do you just handcuff them all to a conference table?
Twin Peaks, I guess.
Twin Peaks, yeah.
No, that's a good point. They got a lot of room out
there. Be like, we close these doors. No one leaves until we get to the bottom of this. Meanwhile, fire up the deep fryer.
That's damn good coffee.
Also, the turf war allegedly started following the beating of one member of a motorcycle gang by a rival gang member at a Toys for Tots event the Christmas before. I'm not making this up.
Baylor's built over a hellmouth. I don't think anyone will argue with that. There is also something, by the way. I think both teams have unique takeaways from this. Both pretty positive. I know that this was bitter and disappointing for Baylor, but you made Oklahoma actually go on drives. Like 4 of them. Really long drives.
Like 12 and 11 and 10 play drives.
Yeah. Which nobody's done. So you died. But you know what? You died nobly. And you
will probably get to die again.
Yeah, probably. That is the other thing for Oklahoma. I know that you had a scare at Baylor. One, you had a scare at 9-0 Baylor. If you're going to do it, that's the way to do it. Don't have a scare at 1-9 Baylor, right? That's definitely not the way that you want to do it. The other thing that you can take away from this as a net positive is this. When it came time to just like knuck up and beat someone up and drag them down the field until you had no choice but to score a TD, you did that. This is not an offense that only relies on the quick strike. No, if it gets into a brawl, you can go ahead, set yourself, and power run and nip your way down the field if one has to.
Who lost to Iowa State?
That's bad.
I don't actually want to talk about the Texas game that much, but I do want to share this very special stat. So all year and pretty much like all forever, it's been like, oh, the damn Texas defense. They're the problem. The offense had 13 drives against Iowa State. 8 of them were 3 and outs.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is that Sam Ellinger Heisman campaign. How's that going?
It's quiet. It's a niche. It's a niche industry.
Yeah, can I give you something worse? That you have a big burly power back, big old burly, you know, loaf of Wonder Bread eating Nash Rambler of a quarterback back there, Sam Ellinger. Figure you should be able to put together a pretty decent run game around that. Texas stormed and rumbled down the field for 54 yards.
And then they got rumbly tumbly.
And then they
from all the Wonder tumbly. Bread. Oh, why'd I eat all this bread before the game? It's spongy and it's expanding.
I didn't actually watch a second of this game.
It's 2.1 yards per carry.
I watched a little just because, like, you know, good for Iowa State. They've had, like, a frustrating year. I think everybody thought, oh, this is the year you might be second in conference, might be third, whatever. They're not those things. But it's always nice to beat Texas because Texas is always rich.
They've lost 4 games by 11 points.
Correct.
It's brutal. It's absolutely brutal.
But they lost this game by -2 points, so it's fine.
Also, since we're just handing out little cheerfulness chips this week, here, I'll put one in your mouth right now, Iowa State. 6-4 is a disappointment for you now.
Yeah.
Hey.
Ooh.
That's neat. That's an entirely different world, right? Mm-hmm. You're now at the point where you and Texas, with four losses, are like, oh, same boat, huh? That's got to hurt for Texas.
We're both disappointed, like, huh?
Texas is like, Jesus, I got to get out of bankruptcy court and get this fortune back. I don't know how I got down here with Iowa State. Iowa State's like, maybe one day I'll be able to afford a boat again. Texas is like, God damn it, I got five boats at the bottom of the lake. Gotta fix this.
Can we talk about Auburn, Georgia?
We'll build a submersible.
Can we talk about Auburn, Georgia now?
Man.
No, I kind of want to talk about Auburn, Georgia in, like, just plain terms.
Spencer actually just wrote about this, so
take it away. I'm up.
So, like,
I'm game.
So here's my thing. Everybody, there are a bunch of heated Georgia fans on the internet right now who are like, blah, 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 Banner Society, which is where we work. There, I get the credit for it this week, Holly.
There you go.
Banner Society just hates on Georgia. Bunch of Florida fans, blah, 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 blah.
No, that one dude yesterday thought we were 9 Auburn fans, which is actually way worse than being called an Alabama fan. And I've been called an Alabama fan online a lot.
Nine Auburn fans, by the way, that's a church.
Yeah, pay us.
That's also the most fucked up 12 Days of Christmas alternative verse.
9 Auburn fans.
Here is my thing. If we really just hated Georgia, and we do kind of hate Georgia, I'll be honest, whatever. But if we really just hated Georgia, and we really just wanted them to suffer and not enjoy anything, do you know what we would actually say? We would say positive. We would say, you know what? The offense does what it takes. The offense just wins. Just, you know, they just grind it out. They know how to get the W. Because this is what I'm looking at. Here are the points per play leaders in 2019. Bama is first, Ohio State, Oklahoma, LSU, Clemson, Oregon. You have to go down to 46th on the list before you get to Georgia, a team that is currently behind Texas A&M, Louisville, Virginia Tech, Illinois. Teams that are not bad, but teams that are not contend for the national championship good. And for whatever reason, Georgia fans have decided that, like, outsiders questioning why Georgia's offense is so stick it in first gear and jam the pedal down gingerly, like, that is somehow an affront, when, like, it doesn't have to be this. It wasn't this way in 2017. In 2017, you're eighth in yards per in points per play allowed on defense, and you are eighth in points per play on offense. You can open shit up. Why are we happy? All right, here's the meanest thing I can say about the Georgia offense right now. I'm going to give you two stat lines, Spencer, and you're going to tell me who. I'm going to tell you who one of them is, and you're going to tell me who the second person is.
All right.
Here's the first one. This is Jake Fromm. 16 TDs. This is for the year. 16 TDs, 3 interceptions, 7.5 yards an attempt, 65% completion rate on 261 attempts. That's Jake Fromm, okay? Here is the mystery quarterback. 16 TDs, same. 4 interceptions, 1 more. 8 yards an attempt, slightly higher. 59% completion rate, slightly lower. 269 attempts, almost exactly the same. Who's the mystery quarterback?
Guys, Garrett Schrader.
It's Shea Patterson.
Heisman!
Like, I don't think we are being assholes to suggest that Georgia's offense is not fulfilling its true potential if Jake Fromm is putting up basically the same exact numbers on the season as Shea Patterson. Like, Georgia fans can get mad at us if they want, and they can say that we're salty haters and this, that, and the other, but, like, if you want us to be that way, stick with it, because you're playing a margins game that when you play Ohio State or Clemson or maybe even Oregon in the playoff, to say nothing of LSU in the SEC championship game, that margins game has the potential to burn you, and it doesn't have to be that way. It's very simple. That's all it is. But also, yes, we're just salty haters who don't know shit.
Also, there's a couple of things that can exist all at the same time. You can make fun of the Georgia offense having Jake Fromm averaged something like 4 yards of completion. And also know at the same time that Jake Fromm is capable of way more, that it's not his fault. This is what he's being asked to do, and he's doing it. It also cost them that South Carolina game, which were it not for that, we'd have a legitimate national title contender, not one who's got to go to court and get, you know, an argument together to make the point. No, Georgia'd be right there if they weren't playing, as I have said before, and will continue to say, like somebody holding a fart in church. That's what Georgia's doing on offense. You can also say this, responding to anything about like, man, I hate watching this team. Well, it's working. That wasn't the point. No one's saying it's not working. By the way, it's sort of working because you lost a game to South Carolina, a terrible South Carolina team with its third string quarterback.
And we all saw, everyone saw.
I'm not saying, you know, take it all and put it on black on the roulette table, okay? But right now,
Kirby... I am. Your daddy will just give you another dealership.
Right now, Kirby's got the entire fortune socked into like a 1.8% savings, like, account.
Oh,
like
pre-owned BMW? You don't even love me, Dad!
God, that is the most Bainbridge County... That is the most Bainbridge, like, thing ever is, I won the lottery! What are you gonna do? Gonna put it in the savings account!
Yeah, I just
buy a truck.
They should have beaten Auburn easily in that game. And the only reason that Auburn is able to get back into that game is not because Georgia's defense falls apart. It is because the offense does the equivalent of a like generous turn of a like turnover that doesn't hurt you too bad by just going three and out, like. That's all there is to it.
They had over 500 yards of punting.
And look, Auburn's a good defense.
Actually,
nobody's...
it was close to 600. Yeah, it was like 578.
558. Yeah. 11 punts for 558 yards.
It's just, it's fine.
It's dumb. It's dumb. It's not being conservative. It's dumb. All right.
It's unimaginative at the very least. It is extremely unimaginative, and Godfrey put it really well on the PAPN that came out today on Sunday. It's a matter of, like, read the room. There are, like, in the year where LSU, of all schools, has figured out, like, oh, you can do that instead. Bama figured this out years ago. Like, how are you the one saying, no, the old ways are best? Cooking meat is for fools.
This is the other thing. With a great offensive line, at least one fantastic. I'm not saying they have a wide receiving core equivalent to what they had last year in 2017, but with Cager, at least one good coverage-breaking wide receiver and DeAndre Swift in the backfield, you're taking an experienced, savvy, and very talented quarterback, and you're asking him to babysit. It's just stupid. It's an insanely stupid way to play. By the way, if you look, the quarterbacks who they've faced, right? They beat Ian Book. Then look at the rest of the murderer's row of quarterbacks that they've had to play. Of freshmen, Kelly Bryant, Florida's second stringer, Kentucky's quarterback, whoever that is. I'm not looking it up. I'm sure it's like their ninth stringer at this point. South Carolina's third stringer, Jarrett Garantano.
Hey.
Right? And then Vandy, Murray State, and Arkansas State.
Hey, there was plenty more on that team to bring Tennessee down besides the quarterback.
Do you look at the A&M game and just say, that's trouble?
No.
No,
you probably don't. You probably don't.
No? Okay.
Because they can't.
That's the best quarterback they're going
to... I mean, they can't actually protect Kellen Mond. But It does sort of make you think, like, why would Joe Burrow have problems here? And especially, no. Why would he have problems if you are putting your defense on the field more than they should be because your offense is afraid to take big shots, is unwilling to do unexpected things?
Yeah. This is a management issue, by the way, Georgia fans. If you're like, well, I don't know, it's working. It's not going to get you where you want it to go. Oh, and then guess what? You're going to be 10-2. and thinking about all the things you could have done. Wow, that's a lot different than the rest of your recent history, isn't it?
Look, I don't even think it's that, because like they can. I don't think it's impossible for them to beat LSU in the conference championship game, but it will be because they like never turn the ball over, don't have a special teams fuck up. LSU does like three or four extreme, like you are playing that game where you're like, okay, if everything falls our way and if nothing falls their way, we can win the game. Sure. But in reality, that doesn't make you like, oh, we're one of the top five teams in the nation. That doesn't mean you are like acting like that. That means you are playing like Iowa State. And Iowa State can win a big game. But
I was going to say,
but
man,
why are you playing like Iowa State with a Georgia roster?
Man, don't put that kind of cowardice on Iowa State.
That was rude. That was
they
rude.
They went for two. They went for two, right? Against Oklahoma. Do you know what Kirby would have done? Kirby would have kicked extra points for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
He would have done the Pat Dye thing and kicked a field goal so that they would tie rather than go for it and potentially win.
I would much rather Georgia be like what LSU is this year. I know I don't like Georgia. I know I'm not rooting for them to win the national title. I would much rather them say, yeah, we're going to try some cool shit.
Right now they're just designed to do this, to just take up a space that could be going to a more interesting team. That's it. Simply because they're filling out the paperwork, dotting the I's and crossing the T's. And if they get into the playoff, by the way, they'll do what they did in the playoff before by taking out an Oklahoma or a more interesting team and then coming up short in the championship game. Just pencil that in. That's what you're designed to do. You're just designed to take up a seat.
No, Georgia's going to win the national title because we spent too much time talking seriously about them in a football context on this podcast. And we must be punished for that. So we have to move on.
You're welcome. We did it.
Yeah. Sorry. Hey, Scott Frost got paid.
Good for him.
Happy Scott Frost Day. Happy Scott Frost Day, everybody.
Unrelated news, Wisconsin beat Nebraska 37-21. Give him an extension.
Do you know the two conference wins Nebraska has this year? They have a 4-point win over Illinois, which actually looks okay right now.
Yeah.
And they have a 3-point win over Northwestern. That's it.
Yeah. And actually beating Northwestern by three, that doesn't look good. Yeah, the offense has been moribund. That's one way to put it. It's been sleepy. Adrian Martinez appears to have regressed.
I kind of like this decision making process by Nebraska, though. They've gone from like 9-4 is not good enough, we demand more with Bo Pelini, to like, no, this was the plan. He's doing what we've asked. In fact, it's going better than you think. We're going to give him an extension to like, it's such an aggressive bluff with a bad hand that I kind of respect it. It's like, you're not even holding two cards. I'm all in. I'm all in with my one card. That's how good it is.
Listen, I know that you've got to go bail him out, Daddy, but I'm staying with him. I'm staying with him. This is when you double down. This is when you say, yeah, you might have stolen my car. Yeah, you might have burned my house down, but you're my man. And I
love you.
And I love you. We're going to make this work, even if you're actually just a sack of squirrels wearing a mask. Speaking of a sack of squirrels wearing a mask.
Goodness gracious me.
Michigan State football.
Oh, I thought it would be the Minnesota game. I was wrong.
No, we'll come back to that. I just want to point out that Michigan State sucks. They suck. They're awful. And finally, like, the worst parts about Mark D'Antonio, the, like, fake hustle, the, like, extreme motivational, come off wearing helmets off the bus, and then everyone will think it's real hard. And then you'll hear Disturb start playing in the background.
We're all Batman on this team.
We're all Batman. We're all black and dark. We all have only the darkest of souls. Like, what worked for Michigan State when they were at their best is that, like, Rich Homie Quan on the sidelines, if you'll remember. They were feeling some type of way. They were dancing. They were fun.
No, we're back to dumb Mark D'Antonio.
We're back to the Mark D'Antonio who suspended a starter for not wearing a tie.
Yeah.
But he was wearing a fucking helmet, though. That was helpful.
I'm wearing a tie and a helmet. I'm ready for anything. Except Michigan.
Except removing the tie.
I eat my tater tots underdone on purpose.
This is the most I watched the Crow 900 times team, right? This is the most it's dark and twisted and takes place in a circus. Yeah, this is an awful football team. And if you watch them, it's just agony watching them attempt to do anything on offense.
The silver lining for Michigan State is also the saddest thing for Michigan State. Hmm. Here's the pro. They can still make a bowl game if they beat Rutgers and Maryland. Here's the con. If they don't make a bowl game, it's because they lost to Rutgers and or Maryland.
You know, the future isn't optional, and that's a shame. You could just pause it right now, right? Like, if Michigan State would be like, universal pause, man. We're just going to stay right here at 4-6, fresh off a 34-point ass-kicking by, you know, public school over there, the private public school.
By a Michigan team that, while Michigan State was like, we're going to wear our helmets, was like, ooh, we made pants for the trophy. Here are his pants. We made them.
We brought whimsical doll clothing. And they beat their ass. How bad is it when your rival beats your ass and has whimsical doll clothing as an accessory?
This Paul Bunyan's an action figure. No, he's not. He's an American girl.
Like, what was Michigan State going to do?
We're going to get a trench coat for Paul Bunyan. He's going to have dark thoughts.
Meanwhile, Michigan is just having a craft project over here.
Painstakingly, like, painting eye black around the eyes of the Paul Bunyan statue.
Did you see, by the way, what one Michigan DB, pardon me, his name escapes me, I will find it, what he did after an interception?
Yeah.
Toward the end of the game? Yeah. Oh, my Lord.
I know what you're talking about, but you should describe it, because, again, this is a visual medium.
Yeah. So, interception made late in the game, and the DB could start running it back in earnest, right? Trying to score, and instead stops mid-play while casually stepping out of bounds to end said play, just so he could trash talk Michigan State.
That's beautiful.
Oh, just moving. Absolutely fantastic. As bitter as it gets in terms of, you're not worth my full effort. I'm in awe. I will find the name. That may be Lavert Hill.
It was Lavert Hill.
Yeah, Lavert Hill. You don't need to buy a drink within a 50-mile radius of me ever again, because I'm picking them all up. Beautiful. You know what that was? Smack time! Sorry.
Okay.
Boy, if I wanted to talk about boundaries, I'd go to therapy with my wife.
Nag time.
I have a rude question to ask. This requires us to go back to Auburn, but only obtusely. So, Auburn is the reference point by which everybody is like, we cannot put Oregon in the playoff, because now Georgia has won over Auburn, LSU has won over Auburn. Alabama may, in theory, get a win over Auburn. Oregon obviously doesn't. So that's sort of the, like, easy, hey, why is Oregon not? Because they lost Auburn and all these teams didn't. Okay, let's say we accept that as fact and as, like, a hurdle they can't overcome. What do we do with Utah, who has not lost to Auburn, which we've been told is the important thing holding Oregon back from playoff consideration?
Can we have them play Auburn? Can we fit that in?
That actually would
be
good.
Is it possible?
Utah should do that. Utah should absolutely say, like,
yeah,
you know what? Fuck it. We're not playing Arizona or whoever we have left. We're playing Auburn instead.
there's no reason for them to play the final game on their schedule, which is versus Colorado.
Yeah, skip Salt that. Lake. Skip that. Say skip that. Offer to fly to Auburn. Auburn probably has a SoCon game, right?
Oh yeah. There's no, we can do this.
Actually, what you should do is convince Auburn to play you instead of Alabama.
Yes. And you know what?
That's a great idea.
Cancel the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, it's time. You know what? It's time. Remember, can't spell Auburn without you. It's right there. That's how we sell the game. Can't spell Auburn without you, Utah. Come on down, you beautiful men.
Utah,
we're ready for this.
Utah did average one of the most hilarious stats of this weekend. They threw 19 passes against UCLA. They averaged 17.6 yards per pass.
Wow.
They threw for 335 on 19 attempts.
On 14 completions.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, man.
They bombed UCLA to death.
Yeah, and there's nothing good happening to you if you play Utah, because one, you might get a gigantic lineman running the ball back for a TD, because that happened.
Yep.
You might have to face Tyler Huntley going 338 for you on just 14 completions. That's embarrassing. But you know what embarrassing is preferable to? Painful? Because otherwise you have to tackle Zach Moss. Go watch highlights of Zach Moss. Every time he hits somebody, it's like, if I slowed down the film and I saw him pulling out the tiniest of knives to just like jab somebody while they were trying to tackle him, I would believe it. I would believe that he coats himself in Icy Hot, not for the slickness and difficulty to tackle, but because it might get in a defender's eye.
For the icy and the hot. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. I believe that Zach Moss...
Lightning and the thunder.
Yeah. I believe Zach Moss would deliberately extend a touchdown run into traffic in vain hope that the defender would be hit by traffic behind him. He's a very mean running back. Mm. Like, maybe the meanest runner in college football. I love you, Zach Moss.
They will probably not make the playoff because the playoff is Maine. And they might just dump truck somebody in a non-playoff bowl. Like, they might flatten somebody good.
You know what I'm waiting for? I don't even think it could happen. But man, let's do this. One team with one loss versus another team with one loss. Are you lining this up? Is this happening?
I think I know where you're going, but go ahead.
The Alabama-Utah matchup? The rematch?
I was going with something weirder.
Oh, please.
I was going to give him Memphis.
Oh, there's a fight there.
Yeah.
they're fighting.
Utah-Memphis is like, we're going to have to put up chicken wire.
Yeah, you just have people start winging beer bottles at the chicken wire pregame, right? Just, yeah! The Roadhouse Bowl. Roadhouse Bowl!
Welcome to the Double Deuce Bowl!
I've already seen Kenneth Gainwell thrown by a face mask this year, right? So you're too dumb to have a good time? It's the motto for the whole bowl.
It's also kind of the Pac-12 motto at this point. You're too dumb to have a good time. Pac-12 refs especially.
Pac-12 refs are the most pro-wrestling refs of all college football refs. I was distracted! His wife came up to me and yelled at me, and I had to address her concerns.
I got hit by a ladder!
Just Durlock Holmes over here. How did this chair get in the ring? Ugh!
I like that because Holly has the late shift for us on Saturdays. She ends up watching more Pac-12.
So much of this. But I usually like this.
Why? Why? I mean, I can see an argument, but why?
Mostly because it's the time of day at which no one asks me.
Yeah.
But I like watching these teams because their conference has not given the ability to stamp any narrative about them upon my brain. And that just lets me sit back and say, well, what the fuck is USC going to do today? They don't know.
No one ever does.
I assure you, they don't know.
Like, is the Pac-12 even doing marketing at this point?
Pac-12, call us. Still here.
Yeah, Conference of Champions.
Still here,
God,
y'all.
God, how fucking great would it be if, like, in the middle of this podcast, you heard, like, me and Spencer doing a mid-roll ad for Pac-12 football?
It's like, y'all, we gave you your only workable hashtag, and we gave it to you for free. Imagine if we were focused.
Get 20% off your first Arizona home loss when you use offer code FULLCAST.
Just bypass the usual branding of Aaron Copland sounding music in the background and imagery of tides and mountains and skip straight to, yeah, Bakersfield, baby! Sacramento! Let's feel this!
They should also just lie. Just be like, the oldest football conference.
Oh, absolutely.
What? That's not...
The granddaddy of them all, the Pac-12. The birthplace of college football. Home of...
The cradle of croaches.
Home of 58 Heisman winners.
Did they just have Amen Corner in that commercial? What the shit?
This is my favorite Pac-12 moment of the week. And we should do this, you know, every week from here on out.
In
the offseason.
Pac-12 week, guys.
I promise we will forget. Too. Yeah.
We will forget this. It won't happen again. But
this is our infrastructure week.
I turned on USC Cal. Like, oh, hey, what's happening in USC Cal? Blip. First thing I see is Keaton Slovis throwing a ball right at the referee. Keaton Slovis had a great game, y'all. He threw for 400 yards. Had 4 TDs, but the first thing I saw was him trying to hit a crossing route over the middle and drilling the ref, who also got hit by the wide receiver on the play. Yeah, it's gorgeous. The last game that I really want to discuss... Oh, all right, I have one note to finish with. But the game I wanted to discuss before that is... Speaking of turning things on and seeing exactly the horror that you expected to see, don't play Iowa.
No, do play Iowa. It's fun.
For us.
I think this is a Lincoln Douglas debate that nobody wins. There's because my case
it's,
and there will be
it's
no
kind of like
to,
a Lincoln Douglas debate if both participants had to go to the bathroom constantly.
It's a Lincoln debate. I'll fight you on the big book of this.
It's
lick.
A Lincoln log debate.
Yeah, like, yeah, the log has no response. And that's why it wins, because Iowa. God, just don't play Iowa. Don't. If you have hopes and dreams and you're not obviously a superior football team, not obviously, like, Minnesota's really good, but it wasn't like you could go, bank on it. Minnesota's going to take this game. Yeah, just don't do it. Skip it. Like we were saying with, you know, skip the Colorado game and invite Auburn. Just do that, but don't invite Auburn. Just decide to take a me week.
We have a bold prediction that this maybe implicates one of our bold predictions was that a loss to one of the El Asico teams would knock somebody out of the playoff.
That was my favorite one.
So I don't know. Do we consider this like, yes, this works, or are we going to wait to see what happens? I don't really get.
I would wait to see what happens, okay. But it's provisional.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
This is very much provisional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Iowa did that thing where the more you try, the further you sink into the quicksand. And that's not where Minnesota's really going to excel ever at this point in their development. So much effort. And Iowa's just like, oh, squirming. That's interesting. We'll just sit here and put you in a headlock.
This is a crawl space. Why are you moving so much?
Yeah, you're just burning up oxygen, dude.
Stop it. You're disturbing your new roommates.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It is playing in Iowa is being buried alive. And like the more you kick and thrash, it's like just more dirt getting in the coffin, bro.
Yeah, it's cave diving, right? And they're like, yeah, panic. Go ahead. Just kick up dirt. You've lost the wire, can't you? You're 100 feet down in this cave and you're going to die. And you know who's down here with you? Kirk Ferentz.
Good night, everybody.
He's nude.
I tried to stop the show, folks. Sorry.
He's nude again. Right now, Kirk Ferentz needs to get a 10-year contract extension out of this game. Right now. Mm. Needs to happen.
Also nude.
Also, that's why it happens, right? They're like, I need to talk to you. Oh, God.
I'm not putting the briefs on until you sign the paper.
Oh, God. That's why that's... That's Oh, yeah. $5 million a year? Whatever. Just get out of my office. Oh, God. It just gets worse every year, doesn't it?